mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. And now, if you speak to us as we hear the word of God. Father, we indeed ask that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, that we might receive the word of God to our hearts and take it in a way that would make a difference, that we would be different people, people that would reach out to our community, reach out to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you may not know who I am. I don't know who some of you are. We got lots of visitors, at least visitors to me. And boy, that's a tremendous encouragement to me. I'm Dr. Al Hickok, and I have been asked to do the last two Sundays. This would be the second one. In preparation for you to consider me to be the next pastor here, but I would be an interim pastor only for a year while you are searching for a permanent pastor, which I am committed to helping you with. And so for the next year, you are going to be considering me, I think, next Sunday. Where's Bruce? Where is he? Isn't that right? Right. You probably should have said that, but yeah, okay. He said it last week. So anyway, you'll consider me, I guess, next Sunday. So until then, you'll have to put up with me for now, okay? So now many of you know that I was a pastoral counselor for many, many, many years. Have a doctor's of ministry degree in pastoral counseling, and I had the privilege of working with many, many people. And today, being a Sunday just before Memorial Day, you know, I would like to, and I've been talking to you about the call of God, and what God is calling us to as a church here on Franklin Hill. And is this mic a little bit fuzzy? Okay, there we go. I hate these things, but anyway. And you know, we, as Aubrey mentioned, remembering those that have fought in the wars, many, many wars, rumors of wars, as Aubrey read from the scripture. And, you know, God is calling all of us to fight in a very real sense, to fight for what is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls upon ordinary people. And you never know when God is going to call you to something that is very, very special. And I was counseling, as I said, many years ago. And I counseled one-on-one. Now, way, 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 way back, I pastored a church and then was a youth pastor and spoke to many, many hundreds of people. And so when I went into counseling, it was a difficult time for me because it was just one-on-one. And all I had was just one person that I was ministering to. And so it was quite a change for me. And I said, you know, I thought to myself, God, you know, I'm doing what you're calling me to do. And so I didn't quite know what God was going to do. And then one day, man came into my office. His name was Todd Beamer. And Todd came because he was thinking about being a full-time missionary abroad. And he came in to say, Dr. Al, you know, I just want to know what God would want me to do. And I thought I would come and talk with you about it. And I said, be more than happy to talk to you about it. And so we talked, and after two sessions, I said to him at the conclusion of the second session, I said, you know, Todd, from what I know, you would be moving your entire family to a foreign place, foreign country, and the country that you're talking about moving to, your children are going to have to go to a boarding school. And he said, yes, that's right. And I said, well, you know, I would encourage you to think about your call as a husband and as a father, first and foremost. That is your calling, first as a father, as a husband. And so he thought about it, and he said, okay. And he made a decision when he left my office that day that he was going to remain at Oracle. He was an Oracle executive, earning, I don't know, way over six figures, a very successful man, a man of God. Few people have I met that is such a man of God. He was a tremendous man of God. And it wasn't too long after that when he made that decision to stay at Oracle, and to stay with his family and carry on. He had a ministry at the church as a youth leader as well. He got on boarded Flight 93. And you all know what happened, right? And I remember he always used to say, let's roll. Whenever he was ready to move on something, he would always say, let's roll. He would go around church saying that. And so when we got the news that he was on Flight 93, excuse me, we got the call that he was on that flight and the flight had crashed in Pennsylvania. And Todd, according to the flight recorders, led the charge to take that plane down because it was headed for Washington. We don't know if it was the Pentagon or the White House, but it was headed for Washington. And he was a hero. And you know, he answered the call of God. God was calling him to change the course of history. Think about that. Because had that plane had not gone down, man, how many more people would have been killed? What would have happened to the Pentagon or the White House, right? And yet he was an ordinary man, just a man like you and I, attending church just like you're attending church today. And God is calling all of us. And every day that call might be something different, or might be something new. But he's calling us right here as a congregation on here on Franklin Hill. I love this little hill. And you all do too. That's why you're here, right? Amen. Yeah, that's right. See, even Presbyterians can say amen, right? And last week, we talked about the call. And what is the call? Calling is the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively, that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion and direction lived out as a response to his summons and service. Now, that's the recap of where part one was last week. And what I would like to do is I'd like to spend a little bit of time on everything we are that God has called us to. And for that, I'd like to turn to Ephesians. And I don't have this on the screen because it's way too long. So you'll have to grab your Bible and follow along as I read, or you can just listen as I read. But this is who we are. And I want you to know who you are. Who are you? What would you say you are? Well, this is what God says you are. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." And listen to this: "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory." That's who you are. That's who I am. That's only if you have asked Christ to come into your life and give your life to Jesus Christ. And God is calling. He's calling. Calling those of you, perhaps, that still are wondering. You know, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I go to church. But what does it mean to give your life to Jesus Christ, to live a life for Jesus Christ? You know, when I think about I was a student and a graduate. I am a graduate of Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia. And there they taught a lot of Reformed theology to us. And I love it. I love it because it is so close to the Word of God. And we here at Franklin Hill, you are Presbyterian. You are Reformed. Amen? Yeah. And what I just read to you, think about it. Think about it. You are privileged to be here on this hill this morning because God has called you. He chose you before the very foundation of the world. And I don't know about you, but man, if that doesn't excite you, think about that. Think about that. How special you are that God has called you. He's adopted you. He chose you. Now, you know, I wonder, I have a neighbor that doesn't like me. Why are you laughing? Go figure, right? I suspect that he doesn't like me because he knows that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I've not done anything to him. Prior to him moving, I did all kinds of things for him, and he was thankful for all. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, right? Doesn't like me anymore. Won't talk to me, won't wave to me, you know, or anything like that. And I'm there What's this guy's deal? And the only thing I can think of is he knows that I'm in church every Sunday. He knows that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's even got a banner on his fence that kind of faces the road, so I see it every time I go by, that's not very nice, if you know what I mean. And, you know, why did God choose me and he didn't choose him? You know? You ever think about that? Why did God choose you? What's so special about you that God chose you? Anybody have any ideas? Boy, silence. Hmm? Yeah. God created us. That's right. He created us in his image. But God, for whatever reasons that I don't understand, do you understand why he chose you? I don't know. But boy, I'll tell you, I am so thankful. Who am I? Who am I that God would choose me to be here with you this morning, to be a part of the hill? And we don't know who God is calling to Jesus Christ. We don't know who God has chosen. But what we do know is that we have to do something, right? And we just gave everything we have, right? God has blessed us. And isn't it a privilege to give back to God? Amen. Boy, I sure hope you amen that, right? And so God is calling us to build this church on Franklin Hill. And the foundation is who? Jesus Christ. You got handouts, right? He's calling us to build this church on Franklin Hill. And I think this is about as full as I've seen the church as I've filled in over the years. And boy, this is great. And I'm even here to see it. But you know what? There's some empty pews here, some room over there. There's a rocking chair in the back, right? And some pews in the back. And you know, when this is full, we got a community center over here. And hopefully that TV is going to go back there, and we'll have another one up here, right? So that you can watch this, an overflow, right? Do you believe that can happen, folks? Oh, man. Do you believe that can happen? Yeah. Amen, right? Yeah. But it's only going to happen if you think about what God is calling you to, calling us to. And I'm here to help you. I love you guys. I'm retired and been retired, and I love retirement. You know, and when Bruce and Bill came and said, want to talk to you and so forth, and, you know, one thing led to another, and I'm there, oh, man. You know, and I thought about it, and I thought, well, I'm an old guy. I'm an old man. You know, what does God have left for, I mean, you know, but as I prayed about it, my wife and I prayed about it, said, you know what, we're going to come and we're going to say, hey, even this old guy is going to try to help in some way, right? And God is calling us, right? All of us. And if you vote next week and so forth, then I will be here for the next year. He's calling me too. You'll confirm that call one way or the other, right? So he's calling us to get out. Yeah, there's Booth Road. There's how many houses on Booth Road? There's how many houses on Franklin Hill Road? That's just two roads, right? And a lot of you live very, very close to here. You have neighbors. You have friends. You have relatives. Invite them to come. We have something here that they need. Amen? And you got to go and bring that to them. Right? I'm retired. No, it's my job too, isn't it? And it's not, you know, being up here is not just my job, right? or will not be my job. My job is every single day ministering to whoever God brings into my path. And yesterday, we were, Deb and myself, we were sitting next to a creek, and it was beautiful. We had a little chunk of land there that we were sitting on, and this neighbor, who's 81 years old, said, I'd like to stop by and say hello. And I said, feel free. So he did that. And we were talking, and he said, I don't know, just kind of casually, he said, well, I know where I'm going. And I said, oh, he goes down there, you know. And I said, oh, you don't want to do that. But that's all I said, you know. And as I was praying this morning, thinking about this message, I'm there, you know, I should have taken more advantage of that opportunity. You know, God is giving you opportunities every day to invite people, at the very, very least, to come to hear the word of God so that they may respond to God's call in their life, just as you have responded and you are here, right? And in order to build the church, there has to be a foundation. Now, no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid in Jesus Christ. And we are here today all because of Jesus Christ. All because of Jesus Christ. That's one thing I really appreciate about my education. Everything was Christocentric. Everything was brought back to Jesus. And everything has to do with Jesus. It's all about him. And he's the foundation of why we're here. And it's not just about having a beautiful building. You know, this is just a building. You understand that, right? This is just a building. This building is nothing without you. And this building needs to be full because of you, right? But the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand, Bill and Vicky, you had something to do with the flower. It looks beautiful, by the way. It really does. But you know, this is just a place, a building. Without you, it's nothing, really. Nothing other than a structure that will fall apart if we don't go out and share our faith, take advantage of opportunities, at the very least, to invite people to come to church. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds on it. And then Paul says this, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. There it is. I didn't say that. Right? The Apostle Paul said that, inspired by God himself. You are God's building. Not this building. You are God's building. Right? So, how do we build the church that God has called us to build? Well, Isaiah says this. When God was showing himself to Isaiah, and Isaiah was enthralled with the very presence of God, and he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? God is saying that same thing to you. You know, who am I going to send? Who's going to fill this place? Who's going to keep this church going? Who's going to do that? Yeah. I'm going to be looking for you guys to respond. You know that, right? Yeah. Hey. And I love this. Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here am I. Can you say that? Praise the Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Use me on Franklin Hill to take advantage of every opportunity that God is giving me. Now, we are part of a denomination, ECO, which I've had to learn quite a bit about in the last couple weeks. and in the polity section, it says that we are the congregations and covenant partners with ECO. And that's a evangelical order of the covenant, right? And in their covenant, this is what it says. As I was going through it, Jim said, you better read this. So I did, and I'm there, oh, that's what I'm speaking on this Sunday. There it is. So it's not just me. It's not just the Word of God. It's your denomination that's saying the same thing that God is saying, that I'm saying. They're saying it to you. Then Jesus came and said, and this is quoted in the polity section of your denomination, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because of that, go and make disciples. And the word disciples there in the original languages has to do with teaching. Teaching. Now, hopefully I will be doing, I'm more of a teacher than I am a preacher, but some of you probably might say, well, you got the preaching today too. Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. You go out and you invite people, and you bring people here, I will teach. Okay? Right? Go, make disciples, bring baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And baptism is an outward sign. It's a seal that God, it's actually a picture, being buried with Christ, resurrected to a new life in Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed to stand up in front of all these people and say, you know what, I have given my life to Christ, and I want to follow him. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I want to close in a word of prayer. And as I do, I just want to ask that you would prayerfully consider what God is calling you to do here on Franklin Hill. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for each one that's here this morning. I thank you for the call that you've given to all of us to go and to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray that on this Memorial Day weekend that you would remind all of us of the responsibility that we have to fight for the freedoms that we have in this country and fight for the freedom it is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Going to have a closing song. It's found in your worship and praise book, number 42, Glory Thy Name.